It sure does spell tyranny. Good morning, USA. Good morning, Europe. White nationalists, Christian identity, patriots everywhere. We're here to oppose the Jew world order and set our nations back to where we belong. That is, in rulership over our own borders. And, of course, that's not happening these days because of you-know-who having infiltrated all of our nations and taking control of our governments and economies, etc., etc. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bloodlines on Eurofolk Radio, January 6, 2019. How are you doing, Pastor Steve?
Good morning, libtards. I'm here just to ruin your day.
Amen.
Yeah. Have a lousy day. And hate me.
Yeah,
okay. I know that's sarcasm. I'm sorry, but you know, I haven't had my full cup of coffee yet. I'll get rolling here in a minute.
Right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to continue.
We're going to get into
Josephus
again. Yeah, right.
Josephus. And let me just say right off the bat that if Josephus had not written these two books, The Antiquities of Judah and The Wars of Judah, that there'd be so much missing history. We'd have to do so much guesswork. And the really fascinating thing about his work is that it totally ties together the history of Rome, the history of Judea and the tribe of Judah, and the Edomites, which is what he does in these two books. He tells us of the concurrent history of Rome, Judah, Edom, and Parthia in a way that we would never have, you know, any other records. These are the most, you know, thorough records of the dealings of these four nations in these days. Now, nothing even comes close to the detailed history. So these works are very, very important. And you can get them free online, okay, and read it for yourself. Pastor Steve and I have the thick book.
With little bitty print.
Yeah, that you need a magnifying glass to read, except for me, I can read it because I'm nearsighted. And I have no problem reading this fine print. But we were in book 14. We finished chapter 14.
You get all that ink all over your nose.
Right? Yeah, and your eye strain, right? Yeah, so here we go. We're going to go right into chapter 15. And the previous, where we left off, it was the infighting between Antigonus, the pure-blooded Judahite, descendant of Hyrcanus, and Herod, and Rome. And Rome took the side of Herod, and Antigonus at this point in time is being supported by the Parthians because there was a huge war going on between Rome and Parthia at this time. And Antigonus, in order to throw off the yoke of Rome, had sided with Parthia. That sets the stage for chapter 15. How Herod
We need to remember, folks, Josephus was a historian, and he was also a priest.
Right.
They were under Roman domination. So Josephus, like all people that didn't want to lose his head, literally,
right,
had to sort of be a little cautious upon occasion about exactly how he phrased things.
Yeah.
So if it seems a little Rome friendly or not exactly anti-Rome, you have to understand the situation of Josephus. He wanted to write this stuff down, but he didn't want to get killed for doing it. Much as we have to be very circumspect with some of the things that we say on other shows that post up on YouTube. We don't post this on YouTube, okay? We say what we want to say. This is an EFR show. But when Eli and I do other shows, we have to be very cautious about how we phrase things, because that show that posts on some of these websites
networks
that are censored okay, that are highly watched, they will pull those shows and pull his account. So we have to be very careful, okay, which isn't hard to do. We can say what we have to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, using the J word.
By using smart words.
Right.
Okay. We don't need to hurt other patriotic Christian identity people by getting their shows pulled. Right. So yeah. We just let fly.
Right.
Okay. This is ours, and we don't have to answer to anybody except Yahweh.
Yeah, well, they think they've censored us, to the max, but they haven't. We're coming back. I think 2019 is going to be a revitalized year for Eurofolk Radio, and we're exploring other options since PayPal cut us out. And then there's BitChute. I'm going to start posting our audios, turn them into videos, and put them on BitChute because YouTube has, censored us. And, we're not giving up, folks. Sooner or later, we'll find a host that will do our, videoized, for lack of a better expression, audio tracks, and post them, because that was one of the main sources of bringing new people in. YouTube had a tremendous, has a tremendous following everywhere, but they censored
videos,
our content
stuff. Yeah. But if they're gonna cut your shows out, what good is it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and we had a recent conference call with Paul, and he said that we get 6,000 hits a week, downloads of shows, which is pretty good, despite the fact that we're our own publicity. We don't get any publicity except for our own shows, right, and word of mouth and people sharing information about us, okay? So hopefully we can get back to where we were in 2017. 2018 was the year of censorship of Eurofolk Radio by Jew.
And trolls, right? And infiltrators, and internal problems, and technical problems. It was
out. It was a bad year. We toughed it out.
It was a little rough. I have almost 10,000, a little over 10,000 downloads on my little bitty scripture website. My website is just going crazy.
Yeah, for fear of the Jews, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because it's nothing but my word-for-word shows, my wake-up call shows, and some postings.
Yeah, right.
By the way, the last current wake-up call will play on the 9th, okay? That'll be this week, and then they'll all be repeats after that. I am producing zip drives of all the word-for-word shows from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and I will be offering them. I have to decide on a price. I want to see if I can get some better buys on these zip drives, because I'm not using junk drives. I'm using real good ones. Okay, these SanDisk, which are they're 32 gig, and they're first grade discs. They're not discs, they're zip drives.
Right.
Yeah. But that way
floppies.
you can get the shows and listen to all the shows and have them archived. I'm sending a bunch of them out to the crew so they're archived in case anything ever happens to me, and it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not young anymore. And it wouldn't have to be an attack. It could just be Father calls me home.
Mm-hmm.
That way the shows are preserved.
Yeah.
I don't know how long my time is going to be. None of us do. That's why it's so important we get all these shows done and information out. And we exhort people to righteousness so they join the remnant. That's our task. We're watchmen on the wall.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then, well, on your website, Pastor-Steve. .com, right? Not .org, .com.
Right. www.pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, not T-E-R, -steve.com. I'm not the guy in Arizona that's a Judeo-Christian, okay? So don't.
Yeah. We need to pay him a visit.
Website, that's not me.
We need to pay him a visit and straighten him out. But, yes, and then they can order those zip drives from you. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be under items for sale.
All right, very good.
My Taurus, I'm in the middle of scanning and printing the third book of the Old Covenant, okay?
Okay. So the entire Old Testament in three
writings,
parts.
I have the Torah and the prophets. Now I'm doing the writings, which is Psalms and Proverbs and Chronicles, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That'll be the third and final volume of the three-volume set. I will have that done this year and have that offer for sale. So that'll be another thing.
Okay. The first direct translation from the Hebrew into the English since Tyndale. And he was burned at the stake. Right?
Well, there are a number that would like to do that to me. That would be a roast Stevie party.
There you go. There you go. By the way, Brother Abair says, wasn't Josephus also a Pharisee? Well, not exactly. In his autobiography, Josephus relates the fact that he studied as a Pharisee, as a Sadducee, and I believe also as an Essene, just so he could learn what all three sects taught. And
that's
then,
correct.
He finally wound up.
He didn't join them, but.
Yeah, well, you had to join each group to study under them, but that doesn't mean he was a lifelong Pharisee or a lifelong Sadducee. He basically became a general in the Roman army, and that's why, as you said earlier, he had to be very, very careful how he presented facts, right? Because the Caesar was the god, and he didn't want to offend the god. You know, they could get rid of him very quickly. So he's very, very accurate on secular history that does not politically affect Rome, okay? But he had to be very careful what he said about Rome. Couldn't criticize Rome, okay?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so just like today's so-called journalists, they cannot offend the Zionists, right? They can't put out any anti-Zionist.
Or make any movies that would be offensive to them. Like,
only,
like Stalin. Like the Passion of Christ.
Right, they can't do that.
That one, well.
Okay.
Mel Gibstein, so whatever.
For fear of the Jews, right? Okay. All right, so let's get into chapter 15. Let me restate the title. I'll take the first paragraph. We'll alternate. How Herod sailed out of Italy to Judea, because he was up in Rome, bribing Mark Antony, and fought with Antigonus, and what other things happened in Judea about that time. Here we go. Paragraph 1. By this time, Herod had sailed out of Italy to Ptolemais and had gotten together no small army, both of strangers and of his own countrymen, and marched through Galilee against Antigonus. And again, Antigonus is the son of Hyrcanus. He is the pure-blooded Judahite, the only rightful heir to the throne, although his brother, his name slips me right now, was also contending for the throne. But they were the legitimate heirs, not Herod. Herod was an Edomite. Silo also and Ventidius came and assisted him, being persuaded by Delius, who was sent by Antony, to assist in bringing back Herod. Boy, this really brings the history of Rome vis-a-vis Judea to life. You know, I mean, these are all, you know, not all of them, you know, like Ventidius, never heard of Ventidius or Delius, but Antony, Caesar, Herod. We should know the names of our late ancestors, Antigonus and Hyrcanus, but most Christians don't, most Israelites don't, because we're just not told this history. The Roman Catholic Church and the daughters of Rome, the Protestant churches, have no interest in telling true history, none whatsoever. Okay.
When do you ever hear anything like this in your Judeo-Christian churches, folks?
Yeah, nothing. They don't care about history. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. And for Silo, he was indeed in Judea. Oh, wait a minute. Now for Ventidius, he was employed in composing the disturbances that had been made in the cities by the means of the Parthians. And for Silo, he was indeed in Judea, but corrupted by Antigonus. Okay, here is Josephus self-editing, okay? Because the Parthians, you know, were basically the enemies of Rome, and Antigonus was siding with the Parthians, so he has to say that Antigonus was corrupted by the Parthians. Where, you know, it works both ways, right? Right. Anyway, he was an ally of Parthia. That's all he really needed to say. But in order to appease his Roman masters, he said he was corrupted. Okay. However, as Herod went along, his army increased every day, and all Galilee, with some small exception, joined him. But as he was marching to those that were in Masada, for he was obliged to endeavor to save those that were in that fortress, now they were besieged because they were his relations. Yeah, we related last time that he dropped them off there. Joppa was a hindrance to him, for it was necessary for him to take that place first, it being a city at variance with him, that no stronghold might be left in his enemy's hands behind him when he should go to Jerusalem.
Well, that was a city with the famous female singer, Janis Joplin.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, it's that North Texas singer, right? And when Silo... Yeah, this is the kind of history you'll get from the Judeos, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm terrible.
Well, America's full of place names of Hebrew towns, right?
Well, it was Janis Joplin.
Yeah, right.
And a little wordplay. But,
yes, it kind of fell flat. And when Silo made this a pretense for rising up from Jerusalem and was thereupon pursued by the Judeans, Herod fell upon them with a small body of men, and both put the Judeans to flight and saved Silo when he was very poorly able to defend himself. But when Herod had taken Joppa, he made haste to set free those of his family that were in Masada. Now, of the people of the country, some joined him because of the friendship they had with his father. You know, man, that guy Antipater must have been throwing money around to buy votes. And some because of the splendid appearance he made, and others by way... That's funny, because he looks resplendent in his armor and his robes, right? And he probably had a white horse. And others, by the way, of requital for the benefits they had received from both of them. There you go, right? Handing out favors, political favors. But the greatest number came to him in hopes of getting somewhat from him afterward. All right. If he were once firmly settled in the kingdom.
The welfare state.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to emigrate to America. I want to come to America and get the free stuff.
Well, here's another Jew opening the borders, right?
Yeah.
For favors.
Oh, man.
All right. Back to you.
You ready?
Paragraph two.
All right. Section two. Herod had now a strong army, and as he marched on, Antigonus laid snares and ambushes in the passes and places most proper for them. But in truth, he thereby did little or no damage to the enemy. So Herod received those of his family out of Masada, and, I got a thing in my right eye. Wait a minute.
Boy.
I can't see. Oh. You know, that morning
fog.
Stuff come, it's the...
Yeah, I get floaters occasionally,
morning
too.
Gloppies.
Right.
when you wake up and... There we go. So Herod received those of his family out of Masada and the fortress Ressa, and then went on for Jerusalem. The soldiers also that was with Silo, it should be that were with Silo.
Right.
That got to be a misprint. accompanied him all along, as did many of the citizens, okay, being afraid of his power.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hold on. Let me just interject here. There's a reason for that misprint. You got, what version have you got? I got a really old one, and mine says, the soldiery also that was with Silo. And when they changed it to soldiers, they forgot to change the verb.
This is the more modern version,
yeah.
I guess.
So the whoever retranslated it forgot to change the verb to the plural. Okay, back to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he had pitched his camp on the west side of the city, the soldiers that were set to guard that part shot their arrows and threw their darts at him.
Right.
That's Herod. They were,
yeah,
they were supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, friendly fire.
Yeah. And yeah, when some sallied out in a crowd and came to fight hand to hand with the first rank of Herod's army, these are the soldiers that were,
yeah,
guarding, okay, Jerusalem. They didn't want him back.
Eye boogers. Right. I love it. Right, exactly. They were Judahites who knew,
right,
that Herod was an Edomite.
He gave orders that they should, in the first place, make proclamation about the wall that he came for the good of the people and for the preservation of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just here,
sure,
to help you,
mm-hmm,
and for the preservation of the city, and not to bear any old grudge at even his most open enemies, but ready to forget the offenses which his greatest adversaries had done him.
Mm-hmm.
But Antigonus, by way of reply to what Herod had caused to be proclaimed, and this before the Romans and before Silo also, said that they would not do justly if they gave the kingdom to Herod, who was no more than a private man and an Idumean.
Uh-oh!
In other words, he's a,
okay,
Jew.
All right, now, how can any scholar read Josephus and not realize that Herod was not a Judahite?
And they have a note here, in example, a half-Jew.
No, he was a full-blooded Edomite. Full-blooded.
Okay. Oh.
All right, because his mother was an Edomite and his father was an Edomite, as Josephus has already told us. So this footnote is incorrect. Back to you.
Well, that's not the footnote. That's a note that you're supposed to look at when you get to the end of the chapter. Let's see what it says here. Let me turn.
Oh, okay. Well, here, let me read the one that I have here. This affirmation of Antigonus.
That's what I got.
Okay, so go ahead, read it. It looks
spoken
like
in the days of Herod, and in a manner to his face, that he was an Idumean, i.e. a half-Jew, seems to me of much greater authority than that pretense of his favorite and flatterer, Nicolaus of Damascus, that he was derived as pedigree from Jews as far backward as the Babylonians.
Yeah, he means Judahites.
Captivity.
Yeah, to false claim that he was a Judahite as opposed to an Edomite. Right.
Accordingly, Josephus always esteems him an Idumean.
There you go.
Although he says his father, Antipater, was of the same people with the Judeans.
No. Who says?
Well,
he knows better. Josephus already reported Antipater many times as an Idumean, not a Judahite. Okay. So.
Well, it says the Idumeans were in the time esteemed the very same people with the Judeans.
Yeah, by the Romans.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because they didn't get it.
Right. So here's where the confusion starts. You know, just because they are living together doesn't mean they're related by blood, and they weren't. Brother Hebert says a half Jew is still a whole Jew.
They ought to bestow it on one of the royal family, as their custom was.
Mm-hmm.
For in that case, they at present bear an ill will to him. Yeah, when they're throwing darts at him.
Right.
And had resolved to deprive him of the kingdom as having received it from the Parthians. Yet were there many others of his family that might by their law take it, and these such had no way offended the Romans. And being of the sacerdotal family, it would be an unworthy thing to put them by. Now, while they said thus one to another and fell to reproaching one another on both sides, Antigonus permitted his own men that were upon the wall to defend themselves, who, using their bows and showing great eagerness against their enemies, easily drove them away from the towers.
So, the Parthians, although for their political purposes were probably, you know, self-motivated and not pro-Judah, but the Parthians were relatives, blood relatives of Judah. Okay, so they would support Antigonus against Herod the Edomite, ally of Rome. Okay, so, you know, how can scholars, historical scholars, and Judeo-Christian theologians not understand that Herod was not king of Judah?
He was an occupying governor.
That's all he was.
He was a governor. That's it.
Yeah. So stop calling him king of Judah. He was not. And here you can see that half the people were opposed to him because they understood he was not of their race.
He was a tetrarch, which is an appointed ruler.
Right. Yeah, they had divided Judea up into four provinces, and Herod just ruled one of them. His brother Phasaelus ruled another, and there were two others, okay? Okay, paragraph 3. And now it was that Silo discovered that he had taken bribes. Here we go again. For he sent a great number of his soldiers to complain aloud of the want of provisions they were in, and to require money to buy them food, and that it was fit to let them go into places proper for winter quarters, since the places near the city were a desert, by reason that Antigonus' soldiers had carried all away. So he set his army upon removing and endeavored to march away. But Herod pressed Silo not to depart, and exhorted Silo's captains and soldiers not to desert him, when Caesar and Antony and the Senate had sent him thither, for that he would provide them plenty of all things that they wanted, and easily procure them a great abundance of what they require. So Herod said, okay, no, don't leave. I need you and your soldiers. I will give you provisions. After which entreaty, he immediately went into the country and left not the least pretense that Silo for his departure. For he brought an unexpected quantity of provisions and sent to those friends of his who inhabited about Samaria, to bring down corn and wine and oil and cattle and all other provisions to Jericho, that there might be no want of supply for the soldiers for the time to come. So, you know, so who did Herod steal all this stuff from? You know, probably the Israelite farmers, right?
Absolutely. That made him a lot of friends.
That's right. Antigonus was sensible of this, and sent the presently over the country such as might restrain and lie in ambush for those that went out for provisions. So these men obeyed the orders of Antigonus, and got together a great number of armed men about Jericho, and sat upon the mountains and watched those that brought the provisions. However, Herod was not idle in the meantime, for he took 10 bands of soldiers, of whom 5 were of the Romans and 5 of the Judeans, with some mercenaries among them, and with some few horsemen, and came to Jericho. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, some of our soldiers, but no Judean soldiers, no Jewish soldiers to do any fighting. Yeah. Some mercenaries, right? This is how the Jews have operated. By what? By buying troops, mercenaries.
They hire it done.
That's right.
The same way if they own a business, they don't work. They have Goyim working.
That's right. So you see that in the last 2,000 years, nothing has changed. All right. As they found the city deserted, but that 500 of them had settled themselves on the tops of the hills with their wives and children, those he took and sent away. But the Romans fell upon the city and plundered it, and found the houses full of all sorts of good things. So the king left the garrison at Jericho and came back again and sent the Roman army to take their winter quarters in the countries that were come over to him, Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Well, that whole area that we, you know, call Palestine.
Right.
So much did Antigonus gain of Silo for the bribes he gave him that part of the army should be quartered at Lydda in order to please Antony. So the Romans laid their weapons aside and lived in plenty of all things. So
they just sort of said, they just sort of put everything up and just started, let's party, dude.
Yeah, we got wine. We got food. You know, we got a nice warm place to stay.
we got more wine.
Hey.
That's very good.
Right.
And we got wine, man.
So Antigonus temporarily, you know, made a truce with these Romans. But, you know, that's how long that's going to last, you know.
Whatever's convenient for the time. They weren't stupid. They were just dishonest.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. And there comes a time in the soldier's life where he doesn't want to fight anymore. Right? All these people, they were either conscripted or they were mercenaries. One or the other. Just like today.
They weren't there voluntarily. They were told that you're going. Hey, here's a uniform. Here's a sword. You're going down there.
Yeah, they're brainwashed into believing that Rome, you know, Rome is threatened by the Judeans, and therefore we have to make. Yeah, how many soldiers actually believed that? You know, in the Roman army,
how many people think that Iraq actually threatened the United States? Yeah. The war to end the weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Which were never found.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Okay, Chapter 4, next paragraph.
But Herod was not pleased with lying still, but sent out his brother Joseph against Idumea with 2,000 armed footmen and 400 horsemen, while he himself came to Samaria and left his mother and his other relations there.
And she was an Edomite.
For they were already gone out of Masada and went into Galilee to take certain places which were held by the garrisons of Antigonus.
Hmm.
And he passed on to Sepphoris as God sent a snow. That would be Yahweh sent a snow. Mm-hmm. While Antigonus's garrisons withdrew themselves and had great plenty of provisions.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were fat and happy and didn't feel like fighting.
And this also proves that the shepherds of Israel did not have their sheep grazing in the wintertime because the ground was covered with snow. So,
sure,
it couldn't have possibly have been born on December 25th.
Right.
As the Catholic Church falsely proclaims back to you.
Yeah, with their paganist holidays incorporated in.
Yeah.
He also went from there and resolved to destroy those robbers that dwelt in the caves and did much mischief in the country. So he sent a troop of horsemen and three companies of armed footmen against them. They were very near to a village called Arbela. And on the 40th day after, he came himself with his whole army. And as the enemy sallied out boldly upon him, the left wing of his army gave way, but he, appearing with a body of men, put those to flight who were already conquerors and recalled his men that ran away. He also pressed upon his enemies and pursued them as far as the River Jordan, though they ran away by different roads. So he brought over to him all Galilee, excepting those that dwelt in the caves, and distributed money to every one of his soldiers, giving them 150 drachmas apiece, and much more to their captains, and sent them into winter quarters. At which time Shiloh came to him and his commanders with him, because Antigonus would not give them provisions any longer, for he supplied them for no more than 1 month. Nay, he had sent to all the country about and ordered them to carry off the provisions that were there and retire to the mountains, that the Romans might have no provisions to live upon and so might perish by famine.
So he gave them a month's worth of provisions to pacify them.
While they were eating them, he had everybody loot the rest of the country so they didn't have anything.
Right.
But Herod committed the care of that matter to Pheroras, his youngest brother, and ordered him to repair Alexandrium also. Accordingly, he quickly made the soldiers abound with great plenty of provisions and rebuilt Alexandrium, which had been before desolate.
Wow. So you can picture waves of soldiers marching up and down through Galilee, through Judea. Well, they take their winter quarters, you know, and drink as much wine as they possibly can, right? And then they start marching around the countryside, taking this city, taking that city. A total chaos, absolute chaos.
They were just raiders. They were jitty bopping around, taking stuff.
Yeah, right. And then whole families, whole towns, villages, you know, desolate. The people have to run around and maybe find find refuge with one of their relatives in another county somewhere, right? And then maybe dare to come back home after the army passes through. Yeah, just like Palestine today.
Yeah, if there was anything left, come home too.
That's right. That's right. All right, paragraph 5. About this time it was that Antony continued some time in Athens, and that Ventidius, who was now in Syria, sent for Shiloh and commanded him to assist Herod in the first place to finish the present war. So this Ventidius guy was a high mucky muck. I never heard of him before. If he's giving orders to to Shiloh and other troops around the area, he must have been, you know, like second in command to Antony.
Hard well, to Ventidius sounds Roman to me.
Yeah, he's definitely a Roman. I was wondering how high up he is. But he's apparently a Roman general, no doubt about that. But as for Herod, he went in haste against the robbers that were in the caves and sent Shiloh away to Ventidius while he marched against them. These caves were in mountains that were exceedingly abrupt, and in their middle were no other than precipices with certain entrances into the caves. And those caves were encompassed with sharp rocks, and in these did the robbers lie concealed with all their families about them. But the king caused certain chests to be made in order to destroy them and to be hung down and bound with iron chains by an engine from the top of the mountain, it being not possible to get up to them, but by reason of the sharp ascent of the mountains, nor to creep down to them from above. So Herod was determined to get these people, despite the difficulty. Now these chests were filled with armed men. That's a new version of a siege engine. Now these chests were filled with armed men who had long hooks in their hands by which they might pull out such as resisted them and then tumble them down and kill them by so doing. But the letting the chests down proved to be a matter of great danger because of the vast depth they were to be let down, although they had their provisions in the chests themselves. But when the chests were let down and not one of them in the mouths of the caves durst come near them, but lay still out of fear, some of the armed men girt on their armor, and by both their hands took hold of the chain by which the chests were let down, and went into the mouths of the caves because they fretted that such delay was made by the robbers not daring to come out of the caves. And when they were at any of those mouths, they first killed many of those that were in the mouths with their darts, and afterwards pulled those that to them that resisted them with their hooks, and tumbled them down the precipices, and afterwards went into the caves and killed many more, and then went into the chests again and lay still there. But upon this, terror seized the rest when they heard the lamentations that were made, and they despaired of escaping. However, when the night came on that put an end to the whole work, and as the king proclaimed pardon by a herald to such as delivered themselves up to him, many accepted the offer. Yeah, you trust a Jew? Okay. Wow, this is an amazing story. So they actually constructed chests. You would have to see, think that they're open reed so they could fire their darts through the openings and made war in such a manner. That's never heard of such an assault. The same method of assault was made use of the next day, and they went further and got out into baskets to fight them and fought them at their doors and sent fire among them and set their caves on fire, for there was a great deal of combustible matter within them. Now there was one old man who was caught within one of these caves with 7 children and a wife. These prayed him to give them leave to go out and yield themselves up to the enemy. But he stood at the cave's mouth and always slew that child of his who went out, till he had destroyed them every one. And after that he slew his wife and cast their dead bodies down the precipice and himself after them, and so underwent death rather than slavery. But before he did this, he greatly reproached Herod with the meanness of his family, although he was then king. No, he wasn't. Here is Josephus being politically correct. Okay. Herod also saw that what he was doing and stretched out his hand and offered him all manner of security for his life, by which means all these caves were at length subdued entirely. Wow, what a scene. What a scene, what a scene. All right, back to you.
There was no back door to the cave.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, man, that was a stupid, you know, to bunker up like that.
Swamp Fox says he has a copy of Josephus that has illustrations of these chests going up and down. Very nice. Mine doesn't.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine doesn't either.
Yeah, right?
Because it's...
It's already
and
very
when
thick.
The king, or Tetrarch, had set Ptolemy over these parts of the country as his general, he went to Samaria with 600 horsemen and 3,000 armed footmen, as intending to fight Antigonus. But still, this command of the army did not succeed well with Ptolemy, but those that had been troublesome to Galilee before attacked him and killed him. And when they had done this, they fled among the lakes and places almost inaccessible, laying waste and plundering whatever they could come at in those places. But Herod soon returned and punished them for what they had done, for some of these rebels he killed, and others of them who had fled to the strongholds he besieged, and both killed them and demolished their strongholds. And when he had thus put an end to their rebellion, he laid a fine upon the cities of 100 talents.
Wow. Well, okay, so we kill you, and those who survive, you pay. Right? Boy, this is what it's going to be like at the Judgment Day, folks. George Washington, in his vision, said there would be hand-to-hand fighting between real Americans and traitors until the coming of Yahshua, or during the coming of Yahshua, however you want to look at it. All right, paragraph 7. In the meantime, Pacorus was fallen in a battle, and the Parthians were defeated, when Ventidius sent Machaerus to the assistance of Herod, with 2 legions and 1,000 horsemen, while Antony encouraged him to make haste. But Machaerus, at the instigation of Antigonus, without the approbation of Herod, as being corrupted by money, boy, it's so easy to corrupt these generals with money. Went about to take a view of his affairs. I guess, yeah, you could see that this is the affairs of Rome had to be very much in disarray when so many generals were willing to take bribes from other countries and fight against the interests of Rome. Wow. Yeah. Okay. This just shows you that Rome was already...
Well, how many of our politicians and leaders today do the same thing?
Right, right. But they try to conceal their treason, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's yeah. the swamp.
They'll take money from anybody.
Sure.
Yeah, but Antigonus, suspecting this intention of his coming and did not admit him... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Herod, corrupted by money, went about to take a view of his affairs. But Antigonus, suspecting this intention of his coming, did not admit him into the city, but kept him at a distance with throwing stones at him, and plainly showed what he himself meant. All right, well, you're a Roman, I don't trust you. But when Machaerus was sensible that Herod had given him good advice, and that he had made a mistake himself in not hearkening to that advice, he retired to the city Emmaus. And what Jews or Judeans he met with, he slew them, whether they were enemies or friends, out of the rage he was in at what hardships he had undergone. Now you can get a really good picture of Pilate and the rage that Pilate felt in the midst of all of this infighting. And some of it wasn't infighting, some of it was the Edomites pretending to be Judahites, stirring up trouble amongst the Judahites, you know. So all of this infighting that was going on in Judea and the Roman, you know, leaders watching all this stuff must have had an intense hatred for all of the people there, Judahites and Edomites. Of course, they didn't make any distinctions. But this was what was going on, folks. Now look at America. Look at Europe. And all the infighting that the Jews have created in our countries. This is history.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah. Because the vast majority of people have no idea that there is a single source of all the division.
Well, that's why I don't pay any attention to politics. I just go by the scripture. That's the only thing we need to concern ourselves with, because everything else is smoke and mirrors designed to deceive us.
Right, so don't choose sides, you know.
Don't worry about Republicans or Democrats.
Yeah, just follow Yahweh.
They're two sides of the same beast.
Mm-hmm, amen.
But most people... There's only one king, and that is Yeshua. And if you remember that, you'll be okay.
Yes, yes. The king was provoked at this conduct of his... and went to Samaria, and resolved to go to Antony about these affairs, and to inform him that he stood in no need of such helpers, who did him more mischief than he did his enemies, and that he was able to of himself to beat Antigonus, that is, Herod. He calls him the king. But Machaerus followed him, and desired that he would not go to Antony, for if he was resolved to go, that he would join his brother Joseph with them, and let them fight against Antigonus. So he was reconciled to Machaerus upon his earnest entreaties. Accordingly, he left Joseph there with his army, but charged him to run no hazards, nor to quarrel with Machaerus. So who was your ally? With everybody switching sides...
who's your daddy?
Yeah, everybody switching sides upon a bribe. Wow. All right. This is where we're at. This is America today. This is Europe today.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
It's all the same. They're doing people that don't read this. They've forgotten history, and if you forget history or you ignore it, you're condemned to repeat it.
Yeah, yeah. The logical conclusion of all this treason and infighting is a total collapse of society, and it has to be rebuilt on the ruins, you know. But
that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, that's right.
We're watching our society totally collapse when you lose all order and all rule of real laws, Yahweh's laws. Your society won't survive. There's no blessing.
Prepare
Yahweh
for the worst.
The blessing from this nation because it's in apostasy.
Yep.
or doing everything in opposition to his law.
Rent a cave in the country, right? Because you know, there won't be no Herod searching you out, although there may be for a time. You never know, right? The Jews will search us out.
They're going to be busy covering their own butt, and they're concerned with the cities because our country's so big. There's too many places to hide.
Way too big. Yeah, this is a small area, really. You know, Judea and Palestine, very, very small area. Yeah, you compare that to America, there's no way they can hunt us all down. They'll run out of provisions trying, and we'll be ready for them when they show up. Back to you.
And then we'll take their stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
They don't figure on that. Yeah. Well, yeah. You haven't got any guns. How are you going to supply yourself with this feud there?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're going to run out of provisions. You know, when society, see, these armies were provisioned by stores that were, you know, taken from the local cities and occasionally provided by Rome from the outside, right? So, you know, when America collapses completely, which it will, that's going to run out, and the farmers ain't going to be growing food, just like in South Africa.
Soon as the grocery stores are empty in the cities, it's going to be riots and killing, and everybody's going to kill each other for a pack of crackers.
That's right.
I'm going to be
gone. Or a cigarette.
Man.
Or a smoke.
When it goes down, I'm gone, man. Bye.
Just think of all the alcoholics when there's no booze and all the dope fiends. Oh, man.
Dope.
Can you imagine? They're going to go nuts, absolutely nuts. They'll kill anybody. For a fix. They'll kill anybody for a fix. Back to you.
Yeah. Section 8. But for his own part, he hurried to Antony, who was then at the siege of Samosata, a place upon the Euphrates.
Oh, wow.
With his troops, both horsemen and footmen, to be reinforcements to him. And when he came to Antioch and met there a great number of men gotten together that were very desirous to go to Antony, but dare not venture to go out of fear because the barbarians fell upon men on the road and killed many. So he encouraged them and became their leader upon the road. Okay. Now, when they were within 2 days' march of Samosata, the barbarians had laid an ambush there to disturb those that came to Antony, and where the woods made the passes narrow as they led to the plains, where they laid not a few of their horsemen, who were to lie still until those passing by were gone into the wide place. Now, as soon as the first ranks were gone by, for Herod brought on the rear, those that lay in ambush, who were about 500, fell upon them suddenly, and when they had put the foremost to flight, the king came riding hard with the forces that were about him, and immediately drove back the enemy, by which means he made the minds of his own men courageous and emboldened them to go on, insomuch that those who ran away before now return back, and the barbarians were killed on all sides.
Barbarians meaning the Judahites who lived in the neighborhood.
Yes.
The Hoods.
The Hood.
Yeah, right.
The king also went on killing them and recovered all the baggage, among which were a great number of beasts for burden and of slaves, and proceeded on in his march. And whereas there were a great number of those in the woods that attacked them and were near the passage that led into the plain, he made a sally upon these also with a strong body of men and put them to flight and killed many of them, and thereby rendered the way safe for those that came after. And these called Herod their savior and protector.
Yeah, well, they didn't have much choice, right? Right? They saw what happens to people who try to oppose Herod and Rome, because they're literally opposing Rome, okay? Just like today, if we oppose, you know, even Trump, you know, he's there by the grace of the Zionists. And if he actually challenged them directly, he'd be gone in a heartbeat, just as JFK was gone in a heartbeat.
That's why he has so many of them in his cabinet and his personal family. And he's gone over and bobbed his head at the Wailing Wall. He's done all of that.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Oh, make America great again. Oh, please.
Right. Well, he's apparently proceeding with the wall, which is, hopefully it's not just a pretense to get Republicans sucked in to vote for him next time. Right? If that's
he gets the wall built.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about all the illegals that are already
here. And reproducing? Well, by the way,
ones that don't come in from Mexico, the Palestinians and the jihadists that are with us, they let them come in.
Yeah. And what happened to all this concern for overpopulation by the liberals, by the mass media? You never hear about that. The illegal aliens are overpopulating like crazy. But that's not a concern anymore. It's only a concern if white people reproduce. Okay? That's all that's going on here, folks. All right, let's continue. Paragraph 9, and when he was near to Samosata, Antony sent out his army in all their proper habiliments to meet him in order to pay Herod this respect, and because of the assistance he had given him, for he had heard what attacks the barbarians had made upon him in Judea. He was also very glad to see him there, as having been made acquainted with the great actions he had performed upon the road. So he entertained him very kindly and could not but admire his courage. So Herod, because we had related last time the episode where Herod attempted to commit suicide, but his family prevented him. And that would it's just too bad he didn't. Because apparently the Judahites were in such disarray and had abandoned Yahweh to such a great extent that nothing could prevent the collapse of Judea in those days. But here, this history shows that we have an Edomite Jew precipitating all of this chaos and infighting among our people, which is happening again today, folks. The Zionists are the ones precipitating all this infighting among our people in an entire world.
And they're working on both sides. They're getting both sides against the middle.
That's right.
That's what they're doing. Yeah.
So this is a really good object lesson on how Edomites behave and how they operate. Antony also embraced him as soon as he saw him and saluted him after a most affectionate manner and gave him the upper hand, as having himself lately made him a king or a tetrarch governor. And in a little time Antiochus delivered up the forests, and on that account this war was at an end. Then Antony committed the rest to Sosius and gave him orders against Herod, and went himself to Egypt.
To assist Herod. Yes.
Accordingly, Sosius sent two legions before into Judea to the assistance of Herod, and he followed himself with the body of the army. So, this is, this is the last gasp for Judah to maintain control of Jerusalem. Okay? Antigonus and his brother, I think his brother was named Alexander, and they were the only true heirs to the throne of Hyrcanus. But Hyrcanus was an absolute traitor to Yahweh's law and to the people of Judah. He's the one who allowed all these Edomites into the country. All right, now who should we compare with in modern times? Which president opened the gates for the Jews to come in?
That's got to be a multiple choice.
Right? Wilson, FDR, what's his name? LBJ. Okay. But the doors were, initially opened by Wilson. And he watched as all these European Jews, most of them communists, coming from Russia and, you know, illegally coming into our country. That's where it started. So it was Wilson who opened the doors. Back to you.
Yep, sure was.
Yeah.
Section 10. Now, Joseph was already killed in Judea in the manner following. He forgot what charge his brother Herod had given him. One, he went to Anthony, and one, he had pitched his camp among the mountains, for Machaerus had lent him 5 regiments. With these, he went hastily to Jericho in order to reap the grain there belonging.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine a leader of an army forgetting what his mission is?
And as the Roman regiment were but newly raised and were unskillful in war, for they were in great part collected out of Syria, he was attacked by the enemy and caught in those places of difficulty, and was himself killed as he was fighting bravely. And the whole army was lost, for there were 6 regiments killed. That's
wow.
A lot of.
Yeah.
When Antigonus had got possession of the dead bodies, he cut off Joseph's head, although Pheroras, his brother, would have redeemed it at the price of 50 talents, after which defeat the Galileans revolted from their commanders and took those of Herod's party and drowned them in the lake, and a great part of Judea was become rebellious. But Machaerus fortified the place Gitta in Samaria.
So the Judahites were still fighting to the bitter end to get rid of their occupiers. Amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. What time do we have? Okay, we got about half an hour. Paragraph 11. At this time, messengers came to Herod and informed him of what had been done, and when he was come to Daphne by Antioch, they told him of the ill fortune that had befallen his brother, which yet he expected from certain visions that appeared to him in his dreams, very interesting, which clearly foreshowed his brother's death. So he hastened his march, and when he came to Mount Libanus, he received about 800 men of that place, having already with him 1 Roman legion, and with these he came to Ptolemais. He also marched hence by night with his army and proceeded along Galilee. Here it was that the enemy met him and fought him and were beaten and shut him in the same place of strength whence they had sallied out the day before. So he attacked the place in the morning, but by reason of a great storm that was then very violent, he was able to do nothing but drew off his army into... Recon is starting to remind me of our own Civil War here, okay? I got distracted here. So he attacked the place in the morning, but by reason of a great storm that was then very violent, he was able to do nothing, but drew off his army into the neighboring villages. Yet as soon as the other legion that Antony sent him was come to his assistance, those that were in garrison in the place were afraid and deserted in the nighttime. How are you going to conduct a war when everybody's deserting and doesn't know which side to fight for?
Oh, Pete, don't fail me now.
Yeah, right? This is crazy. Then did the king march hastily to Jericho, being Herod. I wish they would stop calling him the king. Intending to avenge himself on the enemy for the slaughter of his brother. And when he had pitched... But Josephus has to call him king because that's what the Romans insisted he do.
Being politically correct.
Right, that's right. And when he had pitched his tents, he had made a feast of the 4 of the principal commanders. And after this collation was over and he had dismissed his guests, he retired to his own chamber. And here may one see what kindness God had for the king. Well, he's being politically correct here because Yahweh had no love for Herod. But as Yahshua told us, Satan is the prince of this world.
Yep.
And if we don't stop admiring or following Satan's leaders in this world, we will fall with them. Okay, for the upper part of the house fell down when nobody was in it, and so killed none, insomuch that all the people believed that Herod was beloved of God. since he had escaped such a great and surprising danger. Right. And the Jews are a persecuted people. Back to you.
Oh, it was almost the Holocaust. Yeah, right. send money.
So out of pure luck.
The Holocaust survivors, right. Widows in Israel need money. Mm-hmm. They're living on the street.
They're eating out of garbage cans. Yeah, right.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Hey, you watch the television, that's the kind of propaganda they put on their...
Oh, absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
I could get me a $1,000 suit and a hairdo, wear a wig.
Right.
And I could get on and I could do all of that.
Benny Hinn.
Just rake in. I wonder if I did that and raked in all kinds of money if I could fund EFR.
Yeah, there you go. No,
and
we'd
have
you
a huge server, and I'd buy right. YouTube.
Yeah, buy YouTube. There you go. YouTube.
Oh, fantasy farm.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I'm sorry. This is going to be a great year, folks. Watch.
Yeah. We're rebounding.
You watch, folks.
Yeah.
It's already starting out good.
Despite how difficult 2018 was, we are having fun, folks. We're having fun.
You talk about being tried by fire.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That 2018 was a trial by fire.
Right.
But the next day, 6,000 of the enemy came down from the tops of the mountains to fight the Romans, which greatly terrified them. And the soldiers that were in light armor came near and pelted the king's guards that were come out with darts and stones. And one of them hit him on the side with a dart.
Hmm.
That's one of the, it's like a javelin, but it's got feathers on the back that mm-hmm. they throw.
Okay.
And, they called them darts. It's like a short spear, but the thing stabilizes because of the feathers on the back.
So moments after the people regard him as being the beloved of God, he gets hit in the side with a dart. were wrong.
Those were like very large arrows that were thrown by
hand. Yeah.
That's what they were. Antigonus also sent a commander against Samaria, whose name was Pappus, with some forces, being desirous to show the enemy how potent he was and that he had men to spare in his war with them. He sat down to oppose Machaerus, but Herod, when he had taken 5 cities, took such as were left in them, being about 2,000, and killed them and burned the cities themselves and then returned to go against Pappus. Nice guy.
Yeah.
There's your predecessor to Dresden where they just killed everybody. No war materials, no military industry or nothing. Yeah. Just people living there.
Right.
So they burned
them to death. Civilians beware. Yep.
Who was encamped at a village called Isanus, and there ran into him many out of Jericho and Judea, near to which places he was, and the enemy fell upon his men. So stout were they at this time, and joined battle with them, but he beat them in the fight. And in order to be revenged on them for the slaughter of his brother, he pursued them sharply and killed them as they ran away. And as the houses were full of armed men, and many of them ran as far as the tops of the houses, he got them under his power and pulled down the roofs of the houses and saw the lower rooms full of soldiers that were caught and lay all on a heap. So they threw stones down upon them as they lay, piled up one upon another.
Oh, it was a rugby match.
Thereby killed them. Nor was there a more frightful spectacle in all the war than this, where beyond the walls an immense multitude of dead men lay heaped one upon another.
Yes.
This action it was which chiefly broke the spirits of the enemy who expected now what would come. For there appeared a mighty number of people that came from places far distant that were now about the village, but then ran away. And had it not been for the depth of winter which then restrained them, the king's army had presently gone to Jerusalem, as being very courageous at this good success. And the whole work had been done immediately, for Antigonus was already looking about how he might fly away and leave the city.
Yeah. So all this civil war eventually worked out in Herod's favor. And we could say that because Judah itself had become so corrupt within itself, the people of Judah, and this is what Paul relates to us, that the reason that Yahshua had to come was to forgive the sins of the house of Judah and, of course, the house of Israel. And Paul tells us how evil the Judahites were and how hypocritical they were. You know, considering yes. themselves to be righteous when, in fact, they were engaging in all this treason against each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This. And it was so bad because they were under the influence of the infiltrators from
That's right.
Edom.
Yeah.
And what do they do to us today? Who perverts and subverts and converts
mm-hmm.
and perverts all that we have. Yeah, it's the Idumeans again.
Right. And the Judeo-Christians are their allies.
They use our own people to fight against our own.
That's right.
People. They did it during World War I. They've done it during World War II. They're doing it now. They use our people as mercenaries and send them to fight the wars of their enemies in the Mideast.
Yeah. Yeah,
Syria is not going to attack the United States. Iran is not going to attack the United States.
Never have.
Iraq never was going to attack the United States.
Never would.
Vietnam was not going to attack the United States. Korea was never going to attack the United States.
So why did we attack them?
That was a UN police action. That wasn't even a declared war.
That's right. That's right. You know your history, Pastor Steve. But what are we told about those wars?
I lived in that time like you did, Eli. I was, you know, been there, done that.
Right.
You know, I grew up in America before expressways.
Yeah.
Segregation was in full swing. Even in the North, they say, the North was never segregated. Cincinnati was segregated.
Yes, it was.
They had their part of town. We had ours. They had their schools. We had ours.
Yep. Chicago is still segregated.
They had their drinking fountains downtown marked colored, and we had ours.
Yeah.
And there was one that in Cincinnati on Fountain Square. That was the main part of town. It was nice downtown then.
Yeah.
And they had one go over to White Drinking Fountain to drink. And this old man come up, and he kicked him so hard, he flipped him over the top of the drinking fountain.
Wow.
That's
called kicking butt.
And it hurt him. He kicked him in the anus, and it ripped him. And they had a limb off in an ambulance.
My goodness. Yeah.
Well, what did he do, Pop? He tried to drink out of the white drinking fountain. Oh, man.
All right.
He
shouldn't have done that.
And they had that sections on the bus in Cincinnati, back of the bus.
Right. Right.
And the whole thing was life was better for them then. They were working.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
They had their areas of town. The areas of town were neat and clean.
Yeah, well, they had to work. There was no welfare state.
And they had families. The family stayed together. It wasn't all these hoes and their father all these
drug dealers,
all these
welfare queens. Yeah. So is the world a better place thanks to the welfare state? Not hardly, folks.
No, it's destroyed the black people in this country.
It sure has. It sure has. Absolutely destroyed them.
Family, And they can thank the Democrats for that.
They were better off segregated.
They were better off separate.
Just as in
South
Africa, they were better off segregated.
Worked.
Yeah.
Worked well.
Yeah.
They had their own government. They took care of their own.
Yeah.
Though they weren't mooching off of Whitey, they didn't have all this.
Right. They had a work ethic forced upon them by segregation.
You know, that's A.
Yeah. Yeah. And if that black ass was too lazy,
you know, starved.
You're starved. Right?
That's how
right?
it goes.
Yeah.
All
right. That's the work
turn is.
Oh, you didn't finish that section, I don't believe. But let me just comment here. Caucasian 78 remarks.
No, the house... I did fly away and leave the city.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's 13, I guess 13. It's mine.
Yeah.
Let me do this.
Okay.
Because I want to finish this
yeah,
section.
Okay. We've got 15 minutes.
At this time, the Tetrarch, I'm not going to say king.
Yeah. I'm going to start scratching this
that
out.
The soldiers should go to supper, for it was late at night. And while he went into a chamber to use the bath, for he was very weary, and here it was that he was in the greatest danger, which yet, by God providence, he escaped.
Because he's an ally of Rome.
Yeah, well.
Right.
Which God?
Yeah.
Satan helps his own too, folks.
That's right.
For as he was naked and had but one servant that followed him to be with him while he was bathing in an inner room, certain of the enemy who was in their armor and had fled there out of fear were then in the place. And as he was bathing, the first of them came out with his naked sword drawn and went out at the doors, and after him a second and a third, armed in a like manner, and were under such a confusion that they did no hurt to the Tetrarch, and thought themselves to have come off very well and suffering no harm themselves in their getting out of the house.
They had never seen a naked Jew. They couldn't recognize.
However, on the next day, he cut off the head of Pappus, for he was already killed, and sent it to Pheroras as a punishment of what their brother had suffered by his own means, for he was the man that killed him with his own hand. Section 14, and that ought to wrap it up for today.
Yeah,
and we can take chapter 16 next week.
Yeah, I just want to. Caucasian 78 remarked about the pile of bodies that fell in when the roof collapsed. He says, the house fell in. It was almost a Holocaust, right? And then Swamp Fox says...
It's a Holocaust.
Yeah, a Holocaust. Israel, the Israeli state, Judea, said to seek $250 billion in compensation for Jews forced out of Arab countries. I guess they're going to charge Germany for that. Okay, yeah, these Jewish claims for compensation for wars that they start themselves. It's quite amazing, quite amazing. Yeah.
comment about the Minnesota Vikings
logo.
Oh, well.
Read the last. Yeah, that blonde-haired Viking is going to be changed into a black woman, right?
Or a transvestite.
Yeah, a transvestite, right? All right, paragraph 14. When the rigor of winter was over, Herod removed his army and came near to Jerusalem and pitched his camp hard by the city. So he was, the true Judahites were doing their absolute best to prevent him from taking over again. This is what you have to understand is happening here. Now, this was the third year since he had been made tetrarch at Rome. And as he removed his camp and came near that part of the wall where it could be mostly assaulted, he pitched that camp before the temple, intending to make his attacks in the same manner as he did Pompeii. So he encompassed the place with three bulwarks and erected towers, that siege engines, and employed a great army, great many hands about the work, and cut down the trees that were round about the city, and when he had appointed proper persons to oversee the works, even while the army lay before the city, he himself went to Samaria to complete his marriage and to take wife the daughter of Alexander, the son of Aristobulus, for he had betrothed her already, as I have before related. So, that woman, I think her name was Alexandra, was a pure-blooded Judahite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? His intention was to marry into the real royalty, and thereby, you know, convince people that he ought to be king, when the people of Judah would never recognize an Edomite Jew as their leader. It took them 2,000 years to convince our people to accept an Edomite Jew as our leader. Okay?
Really?
Yeah. FDR, Truman, Eisenhower. That Swedish Jew.
Well, Truman's birth name was Solomon Schifrin.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all do know that, I hope.
Yeah. So we've had several Jewish kings.
He was a Jewish haberdasher.
Uh-huh.
In Springfield, Missouri. He had a clothing shop.
Right.
For you, we got all sales such a deal. I make you look so good.
Right.
These are the prime suits made in Israel.
Yes, yes.
They're kosher. You can eat them. They're great.
Yeah.
Such a deal for you, you goyim schmuck.
Right. So we've heard reports that Woodrow Wilson's real name was Wolfson. His family name was Wolfson. So chances are he had Jewish blood.
Well, if you ever see a profile of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks a lot.
Yeah.
Like Bill Kristol.
Yeah. Right. There you go. There's a lot of
that long, thin beak that he's got on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And they change their appearance. When they intermarry with our people, that's how they hide. But that bloodline is there.
Yeah.
That satanic DNA always shows.
Yeah, yeah.
It shows by their actions.
Amen. Then we had a string of real Americans.
Our problem is convincing our people of this fact.
That's right. That's right.
They just don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we had a string of real American presidents, and then we had FDR. And the Delano family was 100% Jewish. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Of course.
Okay, so he's at least a half Jew. Okay.
Any Jew at all is Jew.
Yeah. Right? And then
let's just be real honest. What does the Bible say about it?
Yeah, and then you just related, Harry Truman, he a full-blood Jew. Eisenhower, full-blood Jew.
A Jew.
Okay. And then we had a Catholic. And then we went back to Jews again.
Then there were rumors about the Kennedy family.
Yeah, okay. And then LBJ was at least half Jew.
Oh, boy, you take one look at the face on him and that schnoz.
Ugly as sin.
Oh, come on.
And his wife was a Jew. So don't tell me we haven't had any Jewish presidents, folks. We had a slew of them. And the Bush family has Jewish blood.
Yeah.
Right? So here we are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And David James says Eisenhower's mother was half black. Yes, she was. Okay. You look at Eisenhower full face, you can see the black in him. You can see the black in him. So Eisenhower was a black Jew. a black
Jew. Well, means he was a Hebrew, right? Oh,
that's right. A Hebrew.
He's a Hebrew. Yeah. Yes,
and Eisenhower was the one who got us sucked into Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
That was Eisenhower.
Falasha.
Right?
There
you go.
There you go, David. There you go.
Yeah, right. So, you have to be able to see the signs of the times, as Yahshua said.
Right.
You must be able to discern the signs of the times. And we're in one of those times where as many white civilizations as have existed throughout history, every single one of them was destroyed from within by race mixing. Sometimes
right.
it was our own fault.
Sentence.
That's a death sentence. Sometimes it was our own fault, as in the case of Spain and Portugal. Although there had to have been Jews making money and directing operations in those days as well. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because we know the whole reason that Spain collapsed was because of Jewish infiltration of the church and of the royalty. Okay. So this is an unending story of Jewish subversion of white nations, and our people have yet to learn from history.
If you don't learn from history, you're condemned to repeat it. At this time, we've got the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show coming up right after this.
Right.
And then Saxon's Creed with
David James.
And I want to make sure everybody knows about David's new show, The Fireside Chat. It's a completely different format. It's laid back. It's informative. And it's just, you can just sit back and relax and listen to it and get your ears full of information, because it's one of his best formats he's come up with yet. So I want to remind people of those shows, that some of the improvements that have come about with EFR. And 2019 is going to be a banner year for us, I think, folks.
Yeah, I agree.
We're really making an effort to get things back on track after all the technical difficulties and deliberate hacking and the removal of our accounts, et cetera, et cetera. Yahweh has preserved us and is going to strengthen us, and you need to keep all of us in your prayers.
Yes.
So that we are here and able to fight this fight, because we're in the middle of the war right now. Whether it's a shooting war or not on our part, it's still part of the war. We have to occupy until the end.
And Yahshua said, you will be hated for my name's sake, and there's no more hated on group than Christian Identity.
Yeah.
Even the Judeo-Christians, they hate us. You know, they believe in loving their enemies, but not if you are a racial segregationist. Okay, they will hate you even worse than that. They hate communists.
Oh, hate me,
yeah.
Hate me. I know that you won't date me.
Yeah, right.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, never mind.
So, but what's in store for them is when Yahshua returns, is, what have you done for me lately? And
Quispy quittus.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So we hated your true disciples. That's what that's what they're doing. They're hating on his true disciples. And they're following the lies of the televangelists and their Jewish financiers. Okay, folks, that's where we're at. But we're going to keep fighting, because we know that Yahweh has a place for his remnant in the kingdom. And that's what we will look forward to. We don't care about the perks of this world. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition, folks. We will see you again next time. Stay tuned for Andy and probably Paul. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.